Would you turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 91? Psalm 91 is a song that rejoices in God's protection. Next week, we're going to start a series on Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3. The glory of the risen Christ and then messages to the churches. And that should take us up to Advent, more or less. But today we finish this series in selected psalms with Psalm 91. Please follow along as I read God's Word. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is God's word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise you for your word, which is a light to our path. Would you cause its truth to come home to our hearts today? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. To trust in God in times of danger is not always easy. And I'm reminded of a time, and I believe I've mentioned this to you before, when a family member of mine was undergoing a serious medical crisis. And in the stress of dealing with that, several hours into it, I realized I hadn't prayed at all. And another surprising realization was that I had a kind of resistance to praying. I didn't want to pray. And as I took stock of that, I realized that to pray means to commit it to the Lord and to say, thy will be done. And to me at that moment, there was only one acceptable outcome. And I had a resistance to committing that to the Lord, which is crazy. But it just underscores the fact that calling out to the Lord is a necessity that is sometimes challenging. It's challenging because we may forget, or because we would prefer to take matters into our own hands. But God gives us Psalm 91 to tell us and to encourage us to take shelter in him in every adversity. Every adversity. What we're going to see in Psalm 91 is that God cares even more about protecting us than we ourselves are concerned about it. He cares to the point of even dispatching angels as needed to watch over us. So that's Psalm 91. We're going to look at three things this morning. First of all, our trust in God. Then secondly, all these various ways and situations in which God guards us. And then finally, what God promises us. So first of all, trusting ourselves to God in verses 1 and 2. This psalm applies or speaks about moments when we feel ourselves in danger. We feel ourselves in danger frequently. We may feel ourselves threatened by a person, by an animal, by a sickness, by machinery. We can be threatened by a slick spot on the floor. We could feel a threat from blood work that comes back with questions. Lots of things make us feel a need for shelter and protection and lead us to cry out to the Lord. And verse 1 describes the experience of crying out to the Lord or taking shelter in Him. And it says the same thing in two ways. Look at verse 1. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Which is kind of like saying, he who takes refuge in God takes refuge in God. To point out to us that this is the supreme move. This is the strongest move we could possibly make. And nothing greater can be envisioned than that. When you come to God, you come to the strongest shelter, and you'll find the shelter you seek. Lots of stuff in life is a shelter of questionable worth. If there's a tornado warning, go take shelter in the basement. Hopefully that'll work, but it's kind of a guess. During COVID, the government has us all wearing masks. That's supposed to help. It's not an infallible shelter. There's lots of ways we try to shelter and we're kind of guessing or doing what we think is best. But when we come to God, we come with strong confidence. Verse 2, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Period. So when we come to God, we come with that confidence in Him. Because whenever you say, "Father, protect me," then there's no evil thing that can touch you unless He wills it. You might remember in Job's case, where Satan wanted to harm Job and God said, "You can do this, but you can't do that." Whatever came to Job, as grievous as it was, came by the Father's permission. And it came ultimately for Job's good, though it was so hard for him to grasp that. Nevertheless, for us, we know that nothing, whatever evil touches us, comes from the hand of a good Father who allowed it. So we shelter in God and we activate this protection by calling out to God. Looking down at verse 15, it says, God says, "When He calls to me, I will answer Him." When He calls. Now, God watches over us whether we call to Him or not. But ordinarily, in order to receive His shelter and protection, He wants us to ask Him for it. He doesn't want us to take Him for granted, but to actually say, "Help me, Lord," and to then deliver His help in answer to our prayers. And we, again, need this reminder to ask because of our forgetfulness to ask or because of thinking we can handle this one. Psalm 91 reminds us to ask God every time and to come into His shelter because in His shelter is the only place where there actually is truly shelter. The shelter in the shadow of the Most High. So we entrust ourselves to God. Now the middle of the psalm gets into all these ways in which God's care reaches to all sorts of dangers. And these verses celebrate God's reliability. And so there's all kinds of scenarios in here. And just for the benefit of getting our mind around them, I'm going to lump them into four categories. And here's the first one, the danger of malicious people. The danger of malicious people. Verse 3 speaks of the snare of the fowler. And so a fowler is one who traps birds. With snares or with nets, he outsmarts them and he brings them down. And there are people, and I suppose we could say the same thing of Satan and the demons, who would seek to harm you and to do so by deceiving you, by cheating you, or simply by getting under your skin and trying to drive you nuts. Trying to harm you in one way or another as a sort of fowler after a bird. And whenever you're like a bird that's about to get trapped, who is God to you? It's a remarkable image in verse 4. God is like a mother bird who gathers the little ones under its wings. What God says to us here is, I see what that person is doing. I see. And because you have called out to me, I'm going to shelter you. Come in under here. They may have malice, but I'm going to calm your heart with my care. So in the face of malice, God says you're cared for. In the face of malice, he says you're cared for. Next category, the psalm describes several hidden dangers. It's very unsettling to face a menace that you can't see. And this psalm, apropos of the times, mentions plague or pestilence 3 times. Because a circulating disease sows fear, as we have seen in these times around the world, as people all over react in fear. So that's a hidden danger. The terror of the night falls into that category too, generally speaking, verse 5. The bump in the night frightens us precisely because we don't know what it is. It's that unknown menace. And then finally, also in verse 5, there is this arrow that flies by the day. An arrow is something that comes unexpectedly and from a distance. So this is a sort of unknown that strikes suddenly. And when we call out to God in the face of hidden dangers, we remember that he promises, as he says in verse 4, to be our shield and buckler. A shield is a general protection, and a buckler is a small shield worn on the arm to guard in hand-to-hand combat, so that when a blow comes down, it can be blocked. And that's what God says he will be for you. And he will protect you against hidden dangers as you call out to him. Because to God, no danger is hidden. Hidden dangers are a thing to us, but they're not a thing to God. And God can block every arrow and inhibit every germ and everything that menaces us in a sort of secret way. In the face of hidden danger, God says, I'm your shield. And then there are these catastrophes or these overwhelming evils. Verse 6 speaks of destruction that lays waste. Verse 7 talks about thousands falling around you, 10,000 at your right hand. So this is some sort of a disaster, probably a war. The kind of thing where a person who finds himself or herself in that situation just thinks, I'm a goner. This is the end. When disaster strikes, cry to the Lord. Verse 8 says, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Which is an amazing statement. And I think what that is saying is that to the eyes of faith, as you see disaster striking, you realize that only those who have set their heart on evil are truly menaced by this and will be truly overthrown and undone. For all those who love the Lord will be upheld by him. And we'll talk in a moment about how we're to understand that. But here, we'll just say that in the face of overwhelming evil, God says, I will steady you. So in the face of malice, God cares for us. In the face of hidden danger, God shields us. In the face of overwhelming evil, God steadies us. And then I'm going to call the final category every other horrible thing. So this is, you know, everything from vipers to vicious animals. Everything that can menace us. God says he will dispatch his angels as needed to watch over us. So here God signals help from on high. So in the face of every kind of menacing danger, God promises us top cover, help from heaven. Now, as we think through Psalm 91, we ask the question of how this works, and does God do these things? And as I inventory my own life, I am told that at age one, I had a close brush with, I think it was whooping cough, pretty bad. But in answer to my parents' prayers, I came through. Other things in here that I can recognize include vipers, which for some reason I've almost stepped on more than one, and several of these other evils. And any of you with some years under your belt can look at this psalm and say, yeah, I recognize times when in answer to prayer, God saved my life. He delivered me from great threat and great harm. So we see this. We see that Psalm 91 is true in our own stories. On the other hand, we also know that a lot of people who love the Lord have gotten really hurt in very severe ways. And we think about that. And the author of Psalm 91 knew that too. I mean, this is not new. So we do ask the question, okay, the Lord protects us. How is this true? How does this work out in life? And one way in which, of course, it's not true, the psalm is not teaching that Christians have any kind of a charmed life where we are, in effect, invincible if we just have enough faith or anything like that. As in, I could expose myself to germs on purpose, or I could go, whatever, engage in some dangerous activity. I could go jump off the roof, and it wouldn't hurt me. That actually is a line of thinking that the devil used when he tempted Christ. The devil says to Jesus, go up to the top of the temple and jump off. And then the devil quotes Psalm 91. He says, he will give his angels charge over you. They will bear you up in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. It's in the Bible, Jesus. See? Go jump. You know, how the devil twists things. That turns everything upside down. Psalm 91 is about a humble appeal to God in the face of danger. What the devil was doing, he was saying, put yourself in danger and then demand God protect you, which is a proud move and most dangerous. And Jesus responds to the devil with the correct scripture, which is, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. So Christ comes through that temptation. And one thing about that that I think is really neat is that when the temptation is over, Matthew's gospel says, angels came and ministered to him. They came. They didn't come in the devil's way. They came in God's way. But they came. Which is a precious thought. God sent that help to his glory at the right time to meet Jesus' true needs. So we ponder that and we think more about how are the protections of Psalm 91 true for us. And let's stay in thinking about Christ and his work for a minute, because what Jesus does is very helpful for us to understand how Psalm 91 works. Fast forward in his ministry to the point at which Christ is going to go to the cross. And there Christ is praying in the garden and he's saying, Father, take this cup from me. And God says, no. God says, I want you, in essence, I want you to go through this, Jesus. And he's doing this because he's standing in our place. And then standing in our place, it is like all protection is removed from Christ. And he there on the cross, standing in our place, far from standing back and seeing the recompense of the wicked, Christ there is experiencing the recompense of the wicked for us. In the imagery of Psalm 22, it is like roaring lions are surrounding him, vicious people. In the imagery of Genesis chapter 3, it's at that point that the serpent bruises his heel. Psalm 91 speaks of 10,000 dying at your right hand, but for Christ, he died before those at his left and right hands. Christ was also pierced for our sake. Christ, although he would have loved to have been had a sense of being gathered under God's sheltering wings, felt as though God had forsaken him. And so here we at the cross, we have a sort of un-Psalm 91, as all protection is seemingly removed from Christ. And he's doing this as our sin bearer. And we could ask the question, did God then not hear his cries for help? And the answer is that God most certainly heard his cries for help. The book of Hebrews makes a point of this, that Christ's cries were heard, it says, because of his piety. And so God in due time raised him up in answer to his cries at the right time. And so it's in the resurrection of Jesus that you see Psalm 91 coming true for him. As Christ comes out of the grave triumphant over death and all of his enemies, his prayers are answered and he is upheld by God. And in brief, we have to understand our experience of Psalm 91 is following that same pattern. In other words, we follow a pattern of sometimes suffering and ultimate victory, where we ask the question, has God ever done Psalm 91 things for me? And the answer is yes, but not every time. Sometimes God has willed things that cause us tremendous suffering because he's calling us to go through that in union with Jesus for his good purposes in our lives. But ultimately, we will be united with Christ in the image of his resurrection, raised up with him to power and victory. And that's where the Psalm 91 fully comes true. Victory awaits us. And we have to read our ills in the present along those lines. Charles Spurgeon, who is no stranger to suffering, put it this way. He said, "Ill to the Christian is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain." And so Jesus takes us to victory in and through every circumstance, being our shelter and protector, often in this life and finally in the life to come. Now, the psalm ends with God's promise, and the promise is itself very helpful in seeing how it is that we appropriate this psalm. So if you hold fast to Jesus, if you trust in him, and if you love God, then God makes a promise to your love. Look at verse 14. It says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him." And then it adds, "I will protect him, answer him, be with him in trouble, rescue him, honor him." And then finally in verse 16, "with long life." And the ultimate reference to that is eternal and resurrected life. "With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, this is so simple. Hold fast to him in love. That's not complicated. You can imagine a little girl frightened by a big dog or whatever, running to dad, jumping up on him and wrapping her arms around his neck in a panic. And of course, he doesn't peel her arms off and set her down. No. Any father would comfort and reassure, "I've got you. You're okay." It's not complicated. When one makes such an appeal in love to a father, the father protects. Always. And so it is when we turn to our Heavenly Father, when we in our panic, in our terror, in our misgivings, in our forebodings, when we throw the arms of our faith around our Father, he protects us. And we have his word for it. He protects us so often in this life, and in the eternal perspective, he delivers us to victory and everlasting life. He promises to respond that way to our love as we throw the arms of faith around him, trusting in Christ. So if you in your love for the Lord, understand that as you love him, your love for him is just the tiniest echo of his love for you in Jesus Christ. And that's why Psalm 91 says to come into his shelter, when you come into the Lord's shelter asking for His protection, He is even much more eager to give us that protection than we are to have it. And that's His promise to us in that scripture. Let's pray now and ask for the Lord's blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your care for us so that there is nothing so malicious or so hidden or so overwhelming that it must terrify us. But rather, Father, as we come into Your shelter, You cover us with Your wings, assuring us of Your love for us in Jesus. With long life, You will satisfy us and show us Your salvation. And for this, we give You our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.